Is that the new iPhone 15 Pro?
Oh yeah, it's made with titanium and the Pro camera is epic. Just got it at T-Mobile.
Nice.
Yeah, and I got their Go 5G Next plan, so now I have the freedom to upgrade my phone every year.
I gotta get to T-Mobile.
Take charge of your upgrades at T-Mobile.com.
Phone now via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. 1 year upgrade requires financing, qualifying device and upgrading in good condition after 6 months with half paid off.
Fall is just around the corner and home is the center of it all. At Ashley, seasonal decorating's a breeze with their range of designs and materials. Snuggle up on a family-friendly sectional or an ultra-modern sofa. Or gather outside and enjoy the crisp, cool air with a new fire pit or conversation set. From minor refreshes to total overhauls, Ashley has the essentials to make your home fall functional and fabulous. Shop in-store or visit ashley.com today.
All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Always enjoy when we get a few minutes to chat with my next guest. And that is Drew Tranquil, used to play for the Chargers from 2019 to 2022 in this offseason. Said, I'm going to stay in the AFC West, but I'm going to join the defending Super Bowl champions with the Kansas City Chiefs. And Drew is kind enough to join us right now. Drew, always appreciate the time. Thanks for it. How are you?
Hey, Zach, doing well. Always a pleasure to speak with you as well.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that. Let me start you off with last week up against the Jaguars. We know how good that offense can be. To hold them to three field goals and keep them out of the end zone, just kind of look back at the successful day that your defense did have.
Yeah, I thought we played really complimentary, good defense. I thought we covered well in the back end. I thought we rushed the passer well. And I think whenever you can kind of have that formula, you can find success. I thought, you know, we did a tremendous job in sudden change scenarios. You know, when we were put in a bad position, down deep in their own territory, we were able to force them to three and played solid defense that way. So really excited about the way we played, and we just got to keep stacking days and getting better.
From afar, I thought it was so awkward, the Chris Jones situation, week one, right? He's in the building, but he's not playing. And then he comes back in week two, and they get the contract figured out. We all know his importance to the team. Just how about what Chris was able to give you guys on Sunday and the importance of him coming back and playing for the squad?
Yeah. I mean, being new to the team, it was my first time getting to see Chris play and being on the same side of the ball. And obviously we know how tremendous of a player he is and kind of what he can bring to a team. And, you saw that on that critical fourth down. You really saw it throughout the game. And so, you know, we're really excited to have him back and with us moving forward.
You being a defensive player in this league, you know how great of a player he is, but first time being able to play on the same defense as him, just what jumped out to you the most? Did anything surprise you, maybe a little bit better advertised than what you were hearing and seeing the last few years?
Yeah, I'd never seen him in person, and when I first did, I'm like, he's a lot bigger than I remember. He's massive and, rushes with a lot of power and has a lot of quickness for a guy, you know, his size, and so I'm really impressed with his game and, kind of what he brings to the defense overall.
Drew Tranquil here with us. You know this and I know this. When you have a team like the Chiefs, everyone's going to talk about Patrick Mahomes, how can't you, Andy Reid, and then also Travis Kelce. But your defense to start out this year, even up against Detroit, I thought you guys had a good defensive performance and you hold Trevor Lawrence out of the end zone last week. Do you feel like this defense gets disrespected nationally and is there a little chip on the shoulder of this defense?
Yeah, I don't know that we get disrespected defensively, but there's definitely a chip on your shoulder. And when you go against an offense, you know, as good as we have each and every day in practice and in training camp, you know, you build up a tolerance and a resiliency, you know, to tough situations and tough things schematically that an offense is going to challenge you with. And so, we're thankful we get to see that each and every day and throughout training camp. And it really, I think, prepares us for the long haul of the season. So, yeah, really excited, you know, and how we started, and we just got to keep it rolling here.
We'll talk about the Bears matchup in just a bit. I have a lot of respect for Steve Spagnuolo, a phenomenal defensive mind, and the championships speak for themselves. But now being able to be a part of this Spags defense, just what stands out to you the most about his coaching style?
Yeah, I mean, Spags is really kind of the ultimate competitor. I think, you know, an example from practice the other day is, you know, we're doing a situation, you know, we beat the offense in on – earlier in the week, and then we come back to practice the same situation again because you know, Andy wants to try a different thing, and Spags is just is processing through what he thinks Andy's going to try to do. And I think, you know, the way his mind works, always thinking what's the opponent going to try to do to attack us, you know, has really played out in his resume and what he's been able to accomplish. He's constantly competing, constantly trying to find an edge, and does a really good job of utilizing all his personnel and playing to his guys' strengths. And, you know, I think the guys, you know, respect him for it. And, does a really good job. I've really enjoyed getting to know him the past, you know, couple months.
Now, with what they've been able to build, it probably speaks for itself when the Chiefs come calling, right? Why wouldn't you go? But when you went through this process, what really led you to Kansas City?
Yeah, I mean, there were, you know, a number of teams there at the end. And I think, you know, the biggest thing that stood out to me was just how hard Coach Reed, Brett Veach, Spags, you know, our linebacker coach, Brendan Daly, how hard they pursued me and how badly I felt like they wanted me. I felt like I really had a place and a home here, felt valued as a player. And, you know, they saw a lot of aspects of my game that they respected and admired and felt like I'd get used, you know, really well here. And so it was kind of a nice little fit. And, you know, my family were really excited to be here in Kansas City.
Is it at all awkward? I know it's a business, but when you first walk in, playing the Chargers with the Chargers for all those years, going up against the Chiefs, is it a little bit of an adjustment period?
It was. My wife, Jackie, and I joked about it kind of the first day after being in the building for OTAs, and I was like, it was strange. It was a strange first day. You know, as a competitor, you know, they've been maybe our biggest in-division rival, you know, the past 4 years, and I've played them 8 times, had a lot of close games. It was weird at first, but, you know, things have quickly, you know, turned and have built a lot of friendships and really excited for, you know, what we're building this season.
Nice to not have to go up against Mahomes, though, anymore, right?
It's nice. It's nice. He's as advertised, you know, even in practice. So,
what was the first interaction like when you guys see each other in the locker room after going up against one another for all those years? What's the interaction like with Patrick Mahomes, Drew Tranquil?
I mean, it's like, yeah, I know you. I've seen you on the field quite a few times. It's cool to be on the same side now. You know, we got a lot in common with, you know, two young children, two young married guys, just trying to figure out, you know, their path in life and figure out how to be a dad and a husband and do this football thing at the same time. So it's cool sharing a lot of commonalities on that front, but kind of a mutual respect and, you know, excited to kind of be on the same team with one another now.
We know you guys are talked about all throughout the year because of the Kansas City Chiefs, but really the last week or two with the dating life potentially of Travis Kelce, is he dating Taylor Swift or not? I know he commented on it today and they've been exchanging some messages back and forth. What has the locker room been like on the whole Taylor Swift situation?
So I got enlightened on the fact through my wife, actually. and I started approaching guys in the locker room to find out on her behalf for her insight. And yeah, there's rumors out there. Nobody's really sure. He's kind of keeping a closed door on it, but he seems to want to have her join him at an Arrowhead to see if he can rock it out harder than she did. It sounds like it might be pretty hard, though. It sounds like she goes and does a really good concert for 2 or 3 hours. So, but Travis is a future Hall of Famer and does his thing, so who knows?
Yeah, if you had to advocate on the behalf of Travis Kelce, if Taylor Swift calls up Drew Tranquil and says, why should I come to a Chiefs game to see Travis play, what would you say?
I'd say, well, you're going to witness probably the best tight end in NFL history, and I'd imagine he's going to get in the end zone, and you never know what Travis is going to do after he scores. And so I'd come just for that celebration alone.
Wrap it up with Drew Tranquil. The matchup this weekend up against the Chicago Bears. I know that they're going through a bunch of messy things right now with Justin Fields' comments about the coaching staff. Then he had to walk them back and clarify them. Their offense has been all out of sync, so I'm sure you guys are licking your chops. But when you look at this offense, when you're studying them throughout the week, just what jumps out to you about the Bears?
Well, it's an interesting situation. I feel like whenever there's distracting stuff in the media or even internally within a team, like, you know, those teams typically come to fire out, you know, the next day. I think back on my time at Notre Dame when we fired our defensive coordinator and came out and just guns a-blazing the next game and kind of were united in just kind of this all-out, you know, pursuit of just winning and competing. And so we, you know, we anticipate them to come out and play really hard, you know, do what they do and run the ball and try to get them outside the pocket and, you know, he's a threat with his legs. He extends plays, you know, with the best of them in the NFL. And so we're going to have to be on our rush lanes. We're going to have to make sure, you know, we don't get too high in our rush lanes, too inside, and allow them to get out. But they've got a good football team. They've got a lot of good players, and we, you know, anticipate them to come out and play hard. So we're going to have to be focused on us, focused on our game plan, and really on top of things.
By the way, when you look at your old football team in the Chargers, Drew Tranquil, how would you describe your time the last 2 years playing for Brandon Staley?
Yeah, there were ups and there were downs. You know, I look at that stretch when we were really down, kind of 2 years ago back in, 2022. And, you know, we won, I think, 5 out of the last 6 games to really give us a position. I ended up losing to the Raiders last game. You know, we make the playoffs last year and then just blow a 27-point lead to Jacksonville. You know, there were some ups and there were some downs. And I think they've got a lot of good players. They've got good coaches. And I think, you know, they're going to figure things out. They're certainly going to play us tough. And we know those games are always tough. But, I'd just say there were ups and there were downs.
I know at the end of October, you're going to get your first opportunity to go up against your old team. If you could look ahead a little bit, Drew Tranquil, what do you think the emotions are going to be heading into that game?
They're going to be high, and I'm going to be very, very excited.
All right, last thing I'll ask you. Notre Dame this weekend, I'm sure you want to talk about them. Big matchup against Ohio State. I can't wait to see how this one unfolds. I'm actually optimistic about your Fighting Irish. I think they're going to be able to run the football. The quarterback looks really good in Sam Hartman, and they have a really good offensive line. I had Brady Quinn on yesterday. He was fully confident with Notre Dame taking down Ohio State. Where's your confidence level?
I'm picking Notre Dame this weekend, I think, at home. I think, you know, Coach Freeman, I really like what he's doing. I like the identity of the team. I like the way the Al Golden's using his pieces defensively. I think they play strong defensively. I think they struggled last week against an opponent they felt like they really should have played better against. You know, I think they come out, play solid defensively. I think they run the football with Audric Estime. And I think Sam Hartman, you know, doesn't turn the ball over. And I think they win. I think the defense comes up with a few key turnovers. And I think they get it done.
We'll always enjoy when you join us. Good luck the rest of the way with your new home in Kansas City. And we appreciate the time, Drew Tranquil.
Yes, sir, Zach. Go Irish and go Chiefs, baby.
How about that? Drew Tranquil here with us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. That defense. I've been really impressed with them through the first 2 weeks of the season. I thought they got an unfair shake after the first game where everyone's talking about, oh, Chris Jones wasn't there, and look, it was a big win for Chris Jones. Like, Hickey, when I look back at that night, and I think I said that in the moment the next day, I didn't think that was a big win for Chris Jones because Kansas City had a pick six in the game too where Mahomes threw one. I'm pretty sure it was off the hands of Kadarius Toney. It wasn't like his fault. And then it just goes the other way. So you kind of look back at that. They really only allowed 2 touchdowns in that opening week performance up against an offense that's very good with the Detroit Lions. And then to follow it back up where you get Chris Jones back, he makes a big play in that game, and you hold Trevor Lawrence and Calvin Ridley and you know, Travis Etienne Jr. and Christian Kirk out of the end zone, and you get 3 Brandon McManus field goals. This Chiefs defense isn't getting enough credit through the first 2 weeks of the season. And you know this, and I know this. I knew he wasn't going to take the bait, right, on the whole licking the chops, getting ready for Justin Fields. But sometimes you have a messy week, and the Bears have had a messy week for multiple reasons with their defensive coordinator, with the Justin Fields situation. I did see they brought back Nathan Peterman today, so there you go. Maybe they were trolling us yesterday. But Rye, like, you look at it, this is a horrible landing spot for the Bears. I know that the Chiefs defense, I don't think nationally gets a ton of respect, but they're going to get after Justin Fields this weekend. And these are going to be one of the games that you look back at and you're like, what, 40-10 this weekend or 35-10 on the other side? It's a good landing spot for Kansas City, where their offense has been the biggest problem through the first 2 games of the season. Dropping balls the first week, and even last week, it's not as if they had this incredible offensive performance. So it's bizarre to see how well the Chiefs defense is playing and how the Chiefs offense hasn't even got close to getting into full gear where they usually are.
I mean, if anyone thought week one was a fluke for Kansas City's defense, week two showed you this is legit with going down to Jacksonville and allowing three field goals. No touchdowns for a high-powered offense that a lot of people are high on in Jacksonville this year. They go and shut the door and flummox Trevor Lawrence. And so that defense clearly is legit. And again, if you're Patrick Mahomes right now, that's your best friend with the slow start he's off to. That shows you how balanced and how scary right now of a team the Chiefs still are, even though they're just 1-1. I do think, look, I'm not predicting upset. I'm not saying this game's going to be close.
Whoa.
I do think Drew has a point when he says sometimes when things kind of are in chaos and your back is against the wall, you have really no other choice but to fight. And so I do think early we will see the Bears maybe look competent and do maybe and just kind of try some things and almost basically do what Justin Fields said. Say, F it, we're going to go for it, whether it's a trick play, whether it's only running plays that they're comfortable with. Like, I do think something's going to change this week in part with what Fields said yesterday, and I think that will lead to a little bit more life on offense compared to what we've seen the last 2 weeks.
So in the first game of the season up against the Green Bay Packers, the Chicago Bears had two touchdowns. They had two touchdowns in the game against the Green Bay Packers. Last week, up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I believe they had two touchdowns as well. They had the rushing touchdown by Justin Fields and the passing touchdown by Justin Fields. So two touchdowns as an offense up against Green Bay, two up against Tampa Bay. How many touchdowns are they going to get this week?
I'll still say two, but I think it does look a little bit better. I think they moved the ball because their issue, too, with both the Packers game and last week against the Bucs, especially the Bucs, they went right down the field the first drive, scored, and then crickets for basically 95% of the game. And like kind of even with the Packers, like they scored, but in the times in between the two scoring drives, I'm dropping the remote here, they were like three and out. They were horrifically bad. I think you'll see a little bit more confidence, a little more sustained drives, even though if the touchdown count stays the same, a little more competency compared to what we saw.
I'm saying one touchdown.
One touchdown.
If they get to two, it's going to come garbage time in the fourth quarter. They tried to clean up the mess very quickly in the last 24 hours. And I know there's been a bunch going on with the defensive coordinator and no one actually knows what transpired there yet. We haven't had clarity on that. But in terms of the Justin Fields situation, that is so ugly between a quarterback who's that young and a coaching staff that is relatively new for it to get to that point. And then basically what they did was you had a spillage in a supermarket where an entire shelf of milk just collapsed and the milk went all over the store. And they thought like one mop was going to be able to clean it up over the entire store. You need multiple mops to clean up that mess. And I don't think that's just one fix. Oh, quick fix. You cleaned it up. Everyone's annoyed. Everyone's motivated. Fields going to say F it because I don't know where Justin Fields is at mentally. If I'm being fair, he was visibly distraught and looked lost, not only in the game, but also at the podium the other day. And I think it's one thing to say, bleep it, but you can't just totally ignore what the coaching staff is telling you because then that's going to get real contentious. He's thinking too much. And I don't think you could just flick that switch with a quarterback that has his own flaws to begin with and a team that the line stinks. The only real playmaker is DJ Moore. And you're going up against Kansas City, who has not played a great game yet. This is all the makings of 38-10, 45-10. This is going to be an ass-kicking on Sunday. And, oh, yeah, by the way, the game is not even in Chicago. It would be one thing if, like, maybe you're at home, but then the fans will start booing you. It would be really bad there. But now you're going into one of the toughest environments to play in at Arrowhead with the Kansas City Chiefs. Blowout. Big time blowout.
So I actually think I think being on the road actually helps you because you're right. I think the fans start booing. It puts the pressure, even amplifies it more. But I guess did you see what happened at practice today?
What happened?
Oh, you didn't see?
Oh, Bears practice? Yeah. Where you had the hugging with the offensive coordinator, Justin Fields.
Luke Getsy hugged it out.
Yeah.
So
you know what that is?
Your milk analogy?
Nope.
You had five employees there, 10 mops. It's all wiped up, even sprayed some nice smell so there's no leftover old milk smell. This is like...
You know you're a sucker, right?
Back before, you know, this is back to where you'd have no idea anything even happened.
Yeah, because that's really believable and genuine. Where you go out of your way to hug your offensive coordinator who you just trashed the day before in the media and then was annoyed that you had to go clarify your comments and went after the media. That is real genuine. That was the most contrived thing I've ever thought. They should not have done that. I know it's a fun moment, like, oh, ha, 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 it's hilarious. That makes me feel even worse about the Bears this weekend.
That screamed legitimacy.
You don't even believe that.
No, of course not. Of course I don't. The hug's not doing anything. I did laugh, though. I will say that was very funny.
Well, you don't really have like this great sarcastic voice here.
I figured with the way I was phrasing it, you would have took the bait or took the hint. I am not being serious whatsoever.
Well, I don't know with you. You say all these crazy things to begin with. I have no clue what you mean and what you don't mean. You're starting to do this thing lately where you say things with sarcasm. But then, like, you have the takes, and you have so seriously these takes, and then you put them out on social media, and no one can tell the context of them. So you're losing me here. You know what? It's not a Zach Gelb problem. It's a Ryan Hickey problem.
I think I was crystal clear.
You know what? Hold on. 30 minutes later, the media took me out of context. I never said it was a Ryan Hickey problem. I love Ryan, and we're going to hug. We're going to hug.
I'll pull a Justin Fields. It's not me. It's you.
It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Real quickly, before we take a break, play me Travis Kelce on the Pat McAfee show responding to the Taylor Swift dating rumors. Here is Travis Kelce on the Pat McAfee show.
It's hilarious how much traction this has actually got. It's life. I threw it out there. I threw the ball in her court. And, you know, I told her, you know, maybe I've seen you rock the stage in Arrowhead. You might have to come see me rock the stage in Arrowhead and see which one's a little more lit. So we'll see. We'll see what happens in the near future.
Dog.
Travis! Hey!
All right now. So all we know is that they've just been talking. It's not been confirmed that they have hung out, right? Just that they've been talking?
Can I be honest? I'm rooting for Travis Kelce. I hope he's dating Taylor Swift. I do not need day-by-day updates of they've been hanging out.
You're bored.
They sent a few texts. Oh, my God, maybe now they have added each other on Snapchat. Oh, wow, they follow each other on Instagram now.
There
can
was
you
a
believe
peck
it?
On the cheek, I heard.
I don't need daily updates with their relationship. They're dating? Great. She's at the game? Awesome. Otherwise, I don't care. I don't need to know. I don't need Dove Kleiman. All he does is recycle everyone else's news.
Hey, be nice to Dove. He tweets about us a lot.
No, he's nice.
Shut
I'm just
your
saying,
mouth.
Like, I actually use him a lot because if I miss anything, he's always there to basically repurpose it.
Yeah.
But I don't need him using updates from like People Magazine about how Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift have sent a few messages and maybe are going to hang out. I don't care enough for that.
That's a no decent one take does. That you have. It's a decent take. But I'm actually intrigued by this whole thing. And I give incredible credit to Travis Kelce. He put the ball in her court. He's 100% right. Where he started this off, I was trying to give her a friendship bracelet, blah, 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 blah. And he has turned this into getting on the radar of Taylor Swift. It's Hickey, it's very impressive from Travis Kelce. All right now. All right.
He's got game. There's no doubt of that. He's got game. He can rock the mustache as well. He can do it all.
Do you feel like he is... Well, he obviously has to answer questions about this. But do you feel as if why we're not getting the real answer on what their status is officially is because of the fact that he doesn't want to mess this thing up? Like, Jason Kelce, I must have missed this on the WIP interview because the hosts were, like, laughing and going back and forth. Them. Supposedly he was like, oh, yeah, I'm just kidding. And then WIP, like, heard that after they put out the clip as well. So the whole secretive part about this is a little bit weird when it's playing out so publicly. And even Drew Tranquil's wife is like, hey, is this like an actual thing? You see the guy every day in the locker room. A lot of people are curious about this.
Well, that makes sense in the sense that, I mean, realistically, right, this first happened over the summer, like June or July when she came to Arrowhead and he tried to reach out. So if we just do the timeline 2 months ago, she's busy on a tour. Realistically, they maybe have talked a few times.
The
they
new
may
era
have hung
for Tay-Tay.
Out maybe one time. Like, that's not enough time to, like, oh, yeah, we're dating. So if, I get if you're Travis Kelce, yeah, you're true. Not going to be the one to say, yeah, we're dating, or push this ahead faster than it already is. Then you jeopardize losing her because she goes, oh, too clingy or too fast. Let's calm down or let's get out of here.
And right, like for most normal sane people, I know these aren't normal people because they're two enormous stars. Yeah, but like if you go to a normal person, it's not like you start dating someone after like going out with them, calling them your girlfriend after like two or three interactions or something like that.
Right.
You go out for like a few months and then eventually it just becomes a thing, or one of you says, hey, you know, now it's time to take that next step and, you know, we're exclusive as a couple. Do you think this will turn into an exclusive couple?
I hope so. I don't know how the schedule is going to work
on.
Out. I'm going to say
me the
right now.
Take here.
I am going to say no.
Oh, ho, ho.
I'm going to say
Kelce,
no.
You're a winner, baby.
Taylor
that means
Swift.
You're going to be dating. That means they're getting married.
Well, that's all. Like, what's a couple? Like, I don't want to get into this, but it's like, I mean, if. Like,
exclusive.
For how long? Like.
I'm just like an exclusive couple where.
At any point, fine. I guess they'll be a couple. But are they going to be dating for a year? I'll say this. I would be shocked if at this point next year we're talking about them still dating. That's the way I'll frame it.
You could lock it up. They're getting married now if Hickey's giving that take. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Imagine you're looking at a balancing scale with everything you do for other people on one side and everything you do for yourself on the other side. If it isn't balanced, maybe it's time to spend a little more time on you. And therapy is a great place to start. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can help you find that balance and stick to it. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/positive.
Facts are facts, like how contributing to employees' financial security makes them want to work harder for their company. In fact, according to a 2023 study by Principal, 87% of employers say that better employee financial security means employees are more engaged and productive at work. The fact of the matter is that employees want to feel financially secure in their future. So consider this. Principal helps you invest in your employees by providing customized benefits and retirement plans to help keep your employees more engaged and productive. When you take care of your team, they take care of business. That's a fact. Learn how Principal can help you find the right benefits and retirement plan for your team at principal.com/benefits. Products and services offered by member companies of the Principal Financial Group, Des Moines, Iowa. For important information, visit principal.com/disclosures.
I'm here to tell you about Pom Pom at Home, where comfort meets elegance. Pom Pom at Home is offering 20% off site-wide for a limited time. See why so many of the top designers use Pom Pom's luxury easy care bedding. They have created a timeless, beautiful, coastal living look that incorporates subtle tones and natural fibers, offering a unique touch. Create your dream bed now. Get 20% off sheets, duvets, throws, and more right now at pompomathome.com. Easy to use, easy to love luxury bedding. Just enter code POMPOM at checkout.
Can I get a refill, please?
No one wants to get sidelined by COVID-19, including me. I've got my work, my family. I want to be able to keep my plans. I'm getting this season's COVID-19 shot. It helps protect against COVID-19, which can cause severe illness and hospitalization. Learn about eligibility and schedule your COVID-19 shot on the CDC site vaccines.gov. Sponsored by Pfizer and BioNTech.
Oh, look who's here.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
All righty, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. You could stream the NFL on Westwood One for free, sponsored by AutoZone all season long. You could listen to every Westwood One broadcast of the NFL live on the NFL app by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports or on the Odyssey app. Get in the zone, AutoZone. AutoZone's free battery testing and charging is available for free at your local AutoZone. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Restrictions apply. Stephen A. Smith just threw out the first pitch at Yankee Stadium. Hickey, have you seen the video of Stephen A. Smith throwing out the first pitch at Yankee Stadium?
I have not.
Good pitch or bad pitch? What do you think?
I'm going to say, I don't think he's athletic. I'm going to say bad pitch.
I did play college basketball.
Yeah, I don't know if that translates to baseball. We saw Victor Wembanyama spike one with his 30-inch hands. So I'm going to say bad pitch from Stephen A.
Also, isn't this kind of a question that you know the answer to? If he threw a good pitch, is there any way that we're talking about this on the show?
I mean, no.
The answer's
probably
not,
but I think you could recognize, hey, look, that was a strike down the middle. Give him credit. I think there's a chance, but you're right, more likely that it's a bad pitch.
No one cares if Stephen A. Smith, who I love and I find wildly entertaining, no one cares if he throws a good pitch. It only matters if you throw a bad pitch and then how bad is the pitch. He bounced the ball. And you always wonder when you have someone that's like an entertainer like Stephen A. Smith, how much of this is shtick? Do you kind of just intentionally throw the ball poorly and then you know it's going to go viral and all that stuff? It wasn't the worst first pitch I've ever seen. Like, it wasn't Baba Booey-esque. It wasn't 50 Cent like. Who was it? Ariana Grande? Was it her in high heels? I want to say in like Japan that threw like the worst first pitch ever. I may be wrong on that one. But Stephen A. Smith on this first pitch here tonight, he did go to the top of the mound, went right to the rubber, and he threw the ball. It bounced, before the batter's box. Before the top part of the batter's box, if you have the light infield grass, did it even clear that? Let's see. I'm slowing it down right now. I would say, just cleared the infield grass right in front of home plate. This is a bad first pitch. Now, I don't remember here. Didn't Stephen A. recently have like some type of surgery or something like that? I know he went through a bad battle with COVID, but I want to say there was like some rotator cuff surgery or something like that. Let me see.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think he's on TV with a sling on for a while.
Yeah, he's recovering from shoulder surgery, and this was back, this was July in 2022. So I don't know if there's any long-term effects from the shoulder surgery, and maybe that limits his mobility, but he was the one that went to the rubber right on top of the mound.
Which, give him credit, respect
give him credit.
That.
Because if he was not there, he would have probably have thrown somewhat close to hitting a strike. So there's the Stephen A. Smith first pitch. Alrighty, let me get to Coach Prime here real quickly. We played this yesterday, but now I have a different thought about it. This is Coach Prime saying Shedeur Sanders could return to Colorado next season. This was courtesy of Bleacher Report.
Shedeur don't want to be tooth to nobody. He don't get down like that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, people projecting him behind, Caleb Williams. And Caleb Williams is phenomenal. But Shedeur ain't no backseat rider. He ain't, he drives his Maybach. Mm-hmm. He don't have a drive advantage. He drives it.
So you hear those comments from Coach Prime, and at first you go, oh, that's brilliant. You're basically daring your own son and saying you're not going to go to the pros because right now you're not the best quarterback in college football. Caleb Williams is going to be one in the draft, and you may be the second or third quarterback off the board. So he only does things when he's first, so therefore he's going to come back. Kind of basically, right, Hickey, kind of like baiting him, saying, oh, yeah, he's not going to go to the pros. He's not the best right now, and basically pretty much telling everyone he's going to come back next season, even though – right, Coach Prime has somewhat of a say in this. It is his son, but ultimately it comes down to the decision of Shedeur Sanders.
That's what I thought. When everyone's kind of calling him a first-round pick already, that's kind of him trying to bring him back for 2024.
Now, don't get me wrong. I think Shedeur Sanders, after this year, he's going to be either the second or third quarterback taken in the draft. He absolutely should go to the NFL draft and should not return to Colorado for another season. I know you can make the case for NIL and, right, you get to play another season with your dad and how special that would be and all that stuff. But when I hear those comments again from Coach Prime and Deion Sanders, I actually think it's a great motivational tactic where it may not be throwing it out there that his son is definitely coming back, but I think there is another hidden meaning for it. I believe he's already looking ahead. And we all know the Oregon game is going to be tough. They probably won't win the Oregon game, but I do believe they'll keep it close. But the following week, they're going up against USC, and they're going directly up against Caleb Williams. Like, if Shedeur Sanders technically is better than, and he thinks he could be better than maybe Caleb Williams one day, you could go show that coming up next Saturday when Colorado goes up against USC. And I think that is Coach Prime right now saying, Caleb Williams is number one, and kind of using that to motivate Shedeur Sanders and doing a little look ahead where most traditional college coaches, they go, I'm only focused on this game up against Oregon. Coach Prime is already looking towards the USC game to try to motivate his son to play his best brand of football. Probably he doesn't need it, but that's what I think Coach is really doing there.
Possibly, and it's a dangerous game if that's true, because if he looks bad against Oregon, I think that also crumbles a lot of what he did the first 3 weeks of now this is a real defense, this is a real opponent for the first time.
Oh, I don't think so.
Look how bad he is. If you look ahead and again, get whooped by Oregon, sure, he could bounce back and play well against USC. I think looking ahead, though, and not okay. overlooking Oregon, but not playing well against Oregon is going to hurt a lot of momentum going to USC.
All right, if they get blown out, that's fine. But we all know this. Regardless of the game and the outcome against Oregon, that's going to be the most hyped game. I didn't even look at the schedule yet for next weekend, and I could confidently say that's going to be the most hyped game because of still, if it's just one bad game for Shedeur Sanders, then it's okay. How is he going to bounce back? And now you're going up against the guy that won the Heisman Trophy and is supposed to be the number one overall pick in the draft. I'll go through the schedule here real quickly right now, and then we'll take a break. But I would before even looking at the schedule, say there's no doubt about it. That's going to be the most hyped game next week. And on Friday next week, you have Utah, Oregon State. Okay, that could be a good game with Cam Rising and DJ Uiagalelei. Yeah, Florida, Kentucky, Georgia, Auburn, Michigan, Nebraska, Kansas, Texas, LSU, Ole Miss is a good game. You have Notre Dame, Duke, which could be a good game. Alabama, Mississippi State. Yeah, next week, all we're going to be talking a ton about USC, Colorado, and even if Colorado loses to Oregon, I still think they'll be in the top 25. And USC. Who do they even play this week? Oh, they have Arizona State. They're going to kick their ass. So this is still going to be the most talked about matchup. Because even if Coach Prime in Colorado loses one game, people didn't expect them to have this many wins at this point. And look where the hype machine is now. I don't think one game just takes all the air out of the balloon of the Colorado Buffaloes. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. We'll come on back. We will discuss the Trayvon Diggs injury out for the year with the ACL injury. What does this mean for the Cowboys? Victor Cruz also going to join us coming up.
What's up, everybody? I'm Danny Parkins, based out of Chicago. This is my buddy Andrew Filippone. He's based out of Pittsburgh. You really got to check out our podcast, First and Pod.
Twice a week, we're going to break down the NFL after Thursday Night Football and Sunday Night Football. It's every team. It's every game. It's all 32 teams. We give you a complete picture, and we get into it. We don't kiss each other's fannies on this show.
New episodes of First and Pod available when you wake up every Monday and Friday morning throughout the football season in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This summer, you need clothes that you can wear anywhere. For that, look to American Giant t-shirts, shorts, jeans, and sweatshirts. American Giant makes everything in the USA, so when you buy, you create jobs and improve local communities all across the country. Shop summertime closet staples at American-Giant.com and get 20% off your order when you use code WA23 at checkout. That's 20% off at American-Giant.com with promo code WA23.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Unfortunate news today. Trayvon Diggs did suffer a torn ACL in practice. So his season is over for the Dallas Cowboys. Everything was going perfectly for the Cowboys to start off the year. And now they're going to be without one of their star cornerbacks. Remember, you also have former Defensive Player of the Year, Stephon Gilmore, on that defense. And if things continue to go the way that the season has for the Cowboys, you'll probably add another Defensive Player of the Year by the end of the season with what Micah Parsons is doing on the defensive side of the ball for the Dallas Cowboys. I still think the Cowboys are a team that this year, if it's not going to happen this year, then it's just never going to happen. The last few years, they've been right there with the 49ers, and the offense has failed them twice in back-to-back games. Now you have an even better defense and a defense that looked championship caliber a year ago in that playoff game. And offensively, Dak, the first two games has played really well. You need Dak to step up and make the big plays late in games. And I'm talking about in playoff games. We have not seen him excel against the 49ers. He didn't even need to excel. He just needed to be a game manager and above average quarterback the last 2 years. Especially, you know, the first matchup against the 49ers, Jimmy Garoppolo is trying to give them the game, but the second one is the one that really stands out to me. And I know that Tony Pollard gets hurt in the game, but the defense was that good, and the 49ers offense really did nothing in the game. And for Dak to just keep on not moving the ball, and even when they got close, then you had the turnover as well. It was an absolute disaster, and both of his turnovers, I know they only led to field goals, but it still did lead to points. And with a game where it was so close, it would have been essential to either get the ball in the end zone or get a field goal for the Cowboys instead of turning the football over twice and getting two field goals by the San Francisco 49ers. But I will say, I have to bring up a tweet that I saw from you, Hickey, today. The immediate reaction from Hot Take Hickey after the whole Trayvon Diggs injury. The good news for the Cowboys is that Trayvon Diggs' injury doesn't lessen their chances of winning a Super Bowl. This was always in the hands of Dak Prescott, and as he's shown you in the playoffs before, .. So Hickey's clearly saying that the same Dak Prescott's going to show up in the postseason, which I understand why you say that. That's things that I have said as well. But you look at when you see the Cowboys' chances of winning a Super Bowl and that elite cornerback tandem of Gilmore and also Trayvon Diggs with Micah Parsons going after the quarterback, this does lessen their chances. I'm not saying it takes their chances away. Dak Prescott is still the biggest key for the Cowboys, but it's weird when I thought it was weird when you said that this doesn't lessen their chances of winning a Super Bowl. It may not drastically lessen their chances, but in some capacity, doesn't it have to because of how good of a player he's been in his young career coming out of Alabama for the Dallas Cowboys?
And we've talked about every year, right? It's about the offense and how they play. We've never talked at all Dallas' defense let them down big time. Oh, they could have used one more turnover. Oh, the secondary got torched in this game. It's come down to they have the talent. It's just they can't put it together, especially on the offensive end. And that's why it was almost, I mean, it sounds kind of like a negative tweet, we'll say, but it's almost...
It was. I thought it was a very negative tweet.
Reassurance to the Cowboys fans of like, it's brutal that he's a good player and a guy who turned over a machine, but in reality, your season was never coming down to Trayvon Diggs. You getting to the Super Bowl, winning the Super Bowl, winning multiple playoff games, winning a playoff game was never coming down to how Trayvon Diggs was going to play and if he gets an extra pick or not. It's coming down to your quarterback and the offense.
Okay, but what happens if they get into a shootout up against the Philadelphia Eagles? Let's say that's the NFC title game, where it's the Philadelphia Eagles going up against the Dallas Cowboys. The Eagles have two tremendous wide receivers in A.J. Brown and also Devontae Smith. Now, in their secondary, at corner, you only have one still really great corner in Stephon Gilmore. If you could have Stephon Gilmore, let's say, going up against Devontae Smith and then Trayvon Diggs going up against A.J. Brown, that improves your chances. Even in a game where, if they lose a playoff game this year, and I don't think it's going to go this way, but let's say if it's like 34-31, if it's 34-31, Dak didn't play a bad game, and maybe if you had that extra corner of Trayvon Diggs, it would slow down one of those two guys, or even the 49ers, because right, out of those three teams, two of them are going to be in the NFC title game, I think it's safe to say, with the 49ers, Eagles, and the Cowboys. If you're going up against the 49ers, and I know Brandon Ayuk's not playing the game tonight, but it's Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel, yeah, you're going to want and wish that you would have had Trayvon Diggs there instead of just Stephon Gilmore. That's where I think this does hurt. Like, it obviously hurts the Cowboys just because of how good of a player he is, but the teams that you're going to have to beat, sure, it goes without being said, Dak has to show up. If Dak doesn't show up, they got no chance. But if you get into a little bit of a track meet or if those offenses get going, they have really good wide receivers, and it's not just one great wide receiver. You just need one corner to try to slow down that great wide receiver.
I hate, and I'm doing something I don't like, but I hate boiling things down to one person or one position.
But
when it comes to Dak Prescott, just like Kirk Cousins, just like James Harden, in the playoffs, it to me it's a definition of insanity for expecting something that we have not seen before. To think Dak can get into a shootout to me is ridiculous at this point. Like, we're talking about hypotheticals, 34-31. Could that happen? Sure.
The guy's a good quarterback.
And
he's not great.
And if Trayvon Diggs, you know, is not there, could a shootout happen and the Cowboys lose because of his absence? Sure. Do I expect Dak to go into any environment, any playoff team, put up 31 points? Absolutely not.
But what happens if they get the one seed this year? Let's say they win the NFC East, which I picked the Eagles, and let's say that divisional round matchup isn't strong, and it's Eagles and 49ers in the divisional round, and they're playing an NFC title game. They're there. You can't tell me Dak Prescott, who, and I'm not a believer in Dak. You're making me defend Dak Prescott, but if he really only needs to win one game or get a high shootout in one game in the playoffs, like, that's inconceivable?
Yes,
inconceivable.
Do you expect James Harden to ever turn around in the playoffs?
No, but
you ever going to have belief in Kirk Cousins?
But why you can't use James Harden is those are series. That's one game.
And your superstar player is supposed to play great in series. Kirk Cousins, Kirk Cousins, top 10 quarterback. Do you ever expect him going to the playoff game to feel confident he can come through?
No, but did he have one game up against the Saints? Did he? He did. And if you basically get two buys where you get the buy in the wild card round, then divisional round, easier opponent, and you're in the Super Bowl, you got to win one game, you better get the job done. But it's not crazy to say that that could be a high scoring game.
Selling your car to Carvana is as easy as...
As easy as pie?
Sure. All you have to do is enter your license plate or VIN.
As easy as a stroll in the park.
Okay, then just answer a few questions and you'll get a real offer in seconds.
As easy as singing!
Why not? Schedule a pickup or drop-off and Carvana will pay you that amount right on the spot.
As easy as playing guitar.
Actually, I find that kind of difficult. But selling your car to Carvana is as easy as...
Can be.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to get an instant offer today.